versus Holder. Mr. Garfield.
Good morning. By leave of the court, on behalf of Petitioner, Your Honor, we're here to argue that the Board of Immigration's appeal deciding that stripping of citizenship and denationalization in the context of ethnic cleansing isn't by itself a form of persecution. This case was previously before this court to differentiate between loss of or denationalization in the context of operation of law and that in the context of ethnic cleansing. Somehow in the decision-making process, the ethnic cleansing aspect of this case was lost. The Board of Immigration Appeals held that if the petitioner was divested of his citizenship as of 1998, which would be a form of stripping of citizenship, that alone would not constitute persecution, because it wasn't accompanied by some other act of harm against him. On the face of it, that is an impermissible finding in light of the determination that citizenship in that context should be a protected ground. Your Honor, in making their decision, they relied on the fact that denationalization can occur by operation of law, in other words, by changes of boundaries. But that wasn't the issue at hand. The issue here was that this is a person who was an Ethiopian citizen in 1998 who was stripped of his citizenship and had to flee the country, and whether that alone, without any other harm, would constitute persecution. We do not believe that the Board of Immigration Appeals' determination in that light serves Chevron deference, principally on these grounds. Number one, it's contrary to Congress's intent. When the Refugee Act was enacted, the House report indicated as follows, that harm or suffering need not be physical, but may take other forms, such as deliberate imposition of severe economic disadvantage or deprivation of liberty, food, housing, employment, or other essentials of life. This broad and sensible interpretation incorporated the 1967 UN Protocol on the Status of Refugees. Furthermore, it's not deserving of any deference as being unreasonable, because its own decisions regarding what constitutes persecution are in clear contrast. In matter of TZ in 2006, this same board found that the deliberate economic harm, even if it doesn't rise to complete, is a form of persecution. How logically could you then argue that denationalizing somebody couldn't constitute persecution? By definition, that means losing everything in your own country, all economic rights. And as Tropp indicated in it, it's the loss of the rights to have rights. And in this context, Your Honor, in that way that they answered the question that asked of this court, it must be held that that interpretation is impermissible. The Seventh Circuit and other circuits have found that ethnic cleansing is a particularly heinous form of persecution. And in Bacor, it specifically noted that a government-sponsored mass expulsion based on ethnicity would be a form of persecution.
What about the board argue that his parents voluntarily relinquished Ethiopian citizenship to Eritrea?
Yeah, and this is the confusion that it's important. I'm hoping that this court will see through. There were two scenarios that the board focused on. One was that the parents went to Eritrea, and that maybe as an operation of law that he lost his Ethiopian citizenship, and therefore they looked at it in the stateless context. But that wasn't the case. That he was clearly an Ethiopian. This court found he was an Ethiopian, and therefore remanded it back. The record supports that he's and is compelled to show that he's an Ethiopian.
I don't know what you mean when you say he's an Ethiopian.
He was an Ethiopian citizen as of the time of 1998.
But if they have this rule that somehow the child has the same citizenship as his parents, then if the parents voluntarily change their citizenship, the child's citizenship automatically changes.
Well, if you're speaking about the Eritrean law, in fact, when the parents left, Eritrea didn't exist as a country, and the Eritrean law requires that you would have to renounce your citizenship, and which he never did. He remained in Ethiopia.
But now, well, I'm just lost. My question is, why did the parents give up their citizenship?
Because they wanted to return to Eritrea.
Right.
And the son decided...
They weren't expelled from Ethiopia.
No, and we're not claiming that the parents were persecuted. And we're not claiming that as an operation...
Well, why don't you just have a neutral law which says, you know, if your parents aren't citizens, you're not a citizen. Isn't that what it amounts... Is that Ethiopian law, basically? You're a child. If your parents aren't citizens, you're not a citizen. Even if you were born in Ethiopia. So it's, you know, not like our rule.
Well, actually, the Ethiopian constitution guaranteed his rights as an Ethiopian. He lived in Ethiopia. He never relinquished his Ethiopian citizenship. He had a passport in 1997, issued by the Ethiopian government, traveled and came back, and in no way ever indicated that he wanted to renounce. In fact, he made the affirmative...
Yeah, but if they have this rule that so he was a minor, when his parents...
That's correct.
...gave up their Ethiopian citizenship. Well, what if you just have a country that has a rule, if you give up... If you're a minor, and your parents give up their citizenship, you lose your citizenship. It's a strange rule from an American standpoint, but is that...
Your Honor, that wouldn't apply here because he remained in Ethiopia.
That's something that has nothing to do with ethnic cleansing.
Well, we're not claiming...
But you said at the beginning of your argument that the board's failure here was a failure to consider the significance of ethnic cleansing. So how does that relate to this apparent rule of neutral application about a minor's citizenship?
Because if he was an Ethiopian citizen as of 1998, which the board acknowledges as a possibility, and they make a determination on the ultimate issue on both scenarios, that assuming that he was an Ethiopian citizen as of the...
Look, I'm asking you, what is the where does the ethnic cleansing come in here?
The ethnic cleansing is that he was an Ethiopian citizen and fled the country because of ethnic cleansing.
Well, who fled the country because of
the petitioner
ethnic cleansing?
During a pattern and practice of ethnic cleansing that's well documented...
Look, you've lost me completely. The parents didn't flee because of ethnic cleansing.
This isn't a
case... Now, how does the ethnic cleansing affect him?
Because he remained as an Ethiopian in the country. And he traveled, and he was acknowledged as an Ethiopian citizen. The record establishes it. He testified that he was an Ethiopian. His testimony was found credible. So that he established...
Would you please tell me where the ethnic cleansing comes in?
In the war between Ethiopia and Eritrea, there was a massive ethnic cleansing.
No, I know all about that. His parents left. He's there. And there is this rule according to which it looks as if he had lost his Ethiopian citizenship. But you're saying, no, he was acknowledged as an Ethiopian citizen.
Ethiopian citizen.
All right. Now, where does the ethnic cleansing? He's there. He's being considered as an Ethiopian citizen, even though maybe he really isn't. But anyway, he's acknowledged as an Ethiopian citizen. Then you have the war. And you have ethnic cleansing in the expulsion of Eritreans and so on, of Ethiopian citizens. Now, how does that affect him exactly?
He fled during that ethnic cleansing. So he was...
ethnic cleansing started as part of the war between...
Yes, in 1998, and he fled before being arrested. So the dilemma is, does the board want to, him to have waited until he was actually arrested, or reasonably have fled when everybody similarly situated was being arrested and deported? So the act of fleeing during that ethnic cleansing is, in my argument, where he was stripped of his citizenship constructively, and then after that, beyond theoretical, when the government denied him a passport in 2004, and that was before there was this claim in the record by the government that they stopped issuing passports in 2005. There's a decree by the Ethiopian government through the Immigration Resource Center admitting that they were taking away passports. And in this context, somebody fleeing ethnic cleansing should be given the benefit of the doubt, and the preponderance of the evidence establishes that he effectively was stripped of his citizenship.
Could I quickly ask you this,
yeah, sure.
Mr. Garfield?
Yes,
sir. Did either the IJ or the BIA ever find, as a factual matter, that the Ethiopian government stripped him of citizenship or deported him, or that it would have done so had he not fled?
They avoided that question because, for some reason, there's the board answers it in the alternative, whether it's an operation of law, loss of citizenship, or whether it is whether he's divested during the war. And it's the second conclusion that we, of course, are appealing, with, by the way, which has no rationale whatsoever, except using the court's language that he wasn't individually targeted beyond fleeing the country and losing his citizenship. It's almost a rhetorical conclusion without any basis whatsoever. And so there's been confusion and all along on whether he was denationalized as an operation of law, but the record clearly shows he was an Ethiopian as of time of the...
So are you saying that if he had stayed in Ethiopia, he would have been stripped of his citizenship? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
He
and
would have been
the
arrested.
Ambiguity arises from the fact that he fled.
Right.
Before he would have been deported.
I think it's Galena where they pose this issue of, do you have to wait to be thrown to the lions in 1000 AD for you to have been persecuted? It's the same dilemma, and it was the same dilemma when this court first had, do we have to send him back to find out if he'll be persecuted? But by the court framing it in the proper way, that issue is to whether they've met the rebuttable presumption, not whether he's been persecuted in the past. And that's another issue in the case, of course, because even the board acknowledges that he may have been persecuted in the past on this, but nonetheless the proclamation of 2003 meets their rebuttable presumption. And we as vehemently disagree with that finding, which is on its face not true, but a law without being attested or any evidence that anybody's benefited from it basically gives the persecuting government the benefit of the doubt, a country that 5 years earlier was ethnically cleansing its own people and whose human rights practices are dismal in every other respect.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Garfield. Your time has expired. Ms. Farrell?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Corey Farrell on behalf of the Attorney General. This case concerns whether Mr. Hale, a native of Ethiopia, met his burden of establishing eligibility for asylum.
Well, do I understand the board correctly that their view is that removing a person's citizenship is not persecution per se? Is that their view?
That's correct, Your Honor.
I understand that if it's something like, you know, you lived in Czechoslovakia, you lived in the Slovakian portion, then the Czechoslovakia splits in two, so you're no longer a Czech citizen, now you're a Slovakian citizen. So that I understand. But, of course, that's not the situation here. So I'm puzzled at the notion that if you have, if a person is... if his citizenship is taken away from his country, not because it's a different country now, just because they don't like these people, that isn't persecution per se?
The board stated that it's just one of the many factors.
I don't get that, I must say. Suppose after 9/11, the United States had denationalized all Americans of Arab or Muslim ancestry or persuasion. Said, you know, we worried about you, we don't think you're loyal, so we're taking away your citizenship, but, you know, you can have an identity card and you can register every 6 months, you know. And you say that would be just one factor in considering whether the United States was persecuting these people?
Well, you'd have to look at all of the facts.
No, answer my question. I've given you all the facts.
Yes, so that would be part of the facts that you would consider.
No, I don't buy that. If that isn't persecution, I don't know what persecution is. I don't know what persecution is.
I don't think that the BIA ever directly answered the question that was put to it by this court. In other words, whether denationalization amounts to persecution, and specifically whether it is persecution in the context of a denationalization and deportation program. You know, instead of directly resolving this issue, the BIA points out some, I don't know what it is, about a stateless individual not being a per se victim of persecution, and that a sovereign nation has the right to define who its citizens will be, and then establishes a rule that mere divestment of nationality or loss of citizenship is of itself not an act of persecution. You know, the BIA has skirted the issue with its conclusion that a fact finder has to decide whether the individual circumstances surrounding the loss of nationality or citizenship rise to the level of persecution. And what it's done here is it allows the BIA to fall back without any analysis on the IJ's original opinion, concluding that he didn't suffer past persecution. I am so distressed.
Well, the board, that's the board found that.
I mean, it's, suppose the United States said we're revoking citizenship of all black people in the United States. They're descended from slaves. Slaves weren't citizens, so we don't think they should be citizens. But again, they can have an identity card. They can register every 6 months. And you're saying that's just one factor to consider in whether there's persecution?
No, I believe that's a different circumstance.
Well, that's different from the case I gave about the Muslims post 9/11?
Here, we don't have evidence.
Yeah, but here, why is that a different case?
In this case, in Mr. Hale's case, we don't have evidence that he was divested of his citizenship because of his Eritrean origin.
Really? Why do you think he wasn't divested of his citizenship, or he was for a different reason?
Well, under the proclamation that because of his parents renounced their citizenship, he could have lost his citizenship at that point.
Well, is that what the board decided or what? I thought the decision was, with your view, which you took in my hypothetical about the Muslims, is that removal of citizenship for whatever reason is just one factor in deciding whether a person's being persecuted. Because if you have an identity card, well, okay, you're still there, you're allowed to be there, so that's not persecution. Isn't that the board's position?
That is the board's position.
And that's the position you defend, right? So if we, you know, denationalize the Jews, the Muslims, the blacks, what have you, that would just be one factor to consider. But as long as they can stay and they have an identity card and so on, they're not being beaten up, then it's fine.
That was the board's position here.
Defend that. You think that's a rational position.
That is the board's reasonable.
That's your, and you think it's reasonable.
It's yes, the board.
You personally, as a lawyer, think it's reasonable.
I think that the board has the authority to define persecution.
Oh, so it can define persecution as if they don't. remove your fingernails, it's not persecution. There's no limits on their discretion in defining what is persecution.
No, but here the board had a thorough decision by a 3-member panel explaining the reasons for their decision.
Yeah, but the reason seems to be that they don't think there's a significant difference between being a citizen and a resident, and therefore just having your status demoted, you're just demoted from being a citizen to a resident with a 6-month, you know, right to remain unless you reapply, that just isn't significant. So there has to be something else to make it persecution.
Here the board found
that just discrimination.
That
not here. That's the position. It's perfectly general. It has nothing to do with Ethiopia or anything else, right?
That the board states that that's
the board's position. It's no big deal whether you're a citizen and they take away your citizenship. That's no big deal. There has to be more in order to constitute persecution.
The board did say that in some circumstances that could be persecution.
Not
it doesn't
by itself,
foreclose
though.
That
not
finding.
Not by itself. Not by itself, right?
I believe that the board's decision does not foreclose that finding by itself. But
well, the language, that's what it says, isn't it?
They have a per se rule here, for heaven's sake.
But they go on to say that you must look at all the facts. And in this case, they considered all the facts and found he was never harmed. He was never
right,
ordered
exactly.
to.
Exactly. If the person who's denationalized is not harmed, then it's not persecution. That's the board's view.
He was never ordered to leave.
That's the board's view, right?
That's the board's view in
if
this
If you
case.
Let a person stay, even though he's not a citizen, you don't beat him up, then it's fine.
Based on these particular
can you
facts,
make him wear a little sign around his neck? Maybe I am not a citizen. Is that okay?
I can't speak to that because
you
that
can't.
Is not
why you can't? You don't have a view. You can't answer a question.
That is not what happened in this.
No
case.
Kidding. No kidding. You think I'm asking you about this case when I say, is it all right to make the person wear a sign? Say, not a citizen. I'm not a citizen.
Well, that would be up to the board.
Well, what is your view?
But
you've read the immigration law and the cases. Do you think that would cross the line?
In my view, that probably would cross the line.
Why?
But that would be up to
you're
the board.
You're not harming the person. You're just saying, we want you to identify yourself. You're not a citizen. So we want people who deal with you to know you're not a citizen because, you know, if you apply, you might apply for a benefit that you're not entitled to because you're not a citizen. So we want you to have a little sign saying not a citizen. Well, why does that cross the line to persecution?
Well, Mr. Hale was never singled out.
No kidding. But you said that would cross the line. That would be persecution. I'm asking you why you think that.
As I said, the board would have to make that
determination. But you said you thought that would make it persecution if they made the non-citizens wear a sign. So I'm asking you why you think that would be persecution.
If a person is singled out.
Well, if you have your citizenship removed, you're singled out.
Here, and even if the court disagrees.
Well, what's the difference between being singled out, have your citizenship removed, and being singled out? Because after your citizenship is removed, you have to have a shoulder patch saying non-citizen.
Well,
why is that different for you?
Your Honor, in this case.
Not this case. Why is that different for you?
I'm sorry. The board here made a determination that all the facts must be considered, and the court should defer to that interpretation, and even if the court disagrees, the court still must determine whether he established a well-founded fear of future persecution.
There's no question, however, that the board does, their decision is based on the fact that he has lost his Ethiopian citizenship.
The board never explicitly found that he lost his citizenship. They said even if he did, and then their analysis followed.
So we have to assume he did for purposes of deciding the case.
That's correct.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Farrell. Mr. Garfield, your time expired, so I think we should end it. You had extra time. So court thanks both counsel, and the court will be in recess.